All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, we're gonna kind of get into a little bit more of what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, and kind of getting into some more of the details of how we onboard people and how we set them up for success as best we can.
So if you've not been with us before, every Tuesday in our practices is called Toolbox Tuesday. It is the theme of our huddles, where we pick one of the hundreds of resources we have available in our asset arsenal and make sure that we are all on the same page with that specific resource. So we are currently in week three of our first 400 training program for our front office team members, where we are going week by week through what that process looks like. And our first 400 program, if you have not heard us talk about it before, is our system that allows us to accelerate our onboarding for our new team members from 6 months to 60 days, whether they come to us with dental experience or not.
Yeah, so this is a huge part of our what we do in our practices, and so many of our team members, I think we've said on the previous calls, come to us without dental experience, and that's as critical for us to be able to onboard someone as fast as we can, get them to be a contributing part of the family, the team, and really kind of hit the ground running as best as possible. And it's important for a culture, it's important for the ability to hire people outside of dental. And it's important for our existing team members to not really stress and worry about an onboarding process, because they know it's going to be predictable, at least as best we can. And they know that that person is going to be, contributing and actually rowing in the same direction with them as quickly as possible. So it takes a lot of that stress out of it.
Yeah, we talk constantly about all of our team members need to be contributing members of the team. They need to be
Yeah.
driving production for you. That's the reason that you're hiring. If you're not, and you've just had extra people running around, you might have to reevaluate the staffing needs. But they're not just decorations in the corner. We're looking for them to be active participants. So week three starts for us with our front office team from communications. This is where we really get into the nitty-gritty about the scripting with patients. We talked a little bit about the hot seat and whatnot over the last couple of weeks, but a couple of things that we have banished from a communication standpoint is I'm new. That's not something that should be announced to patients. I think Sam mentioned last week that the only people who should know if someone is new is the doctor and the other team members potentially that you're working with. And we try to have that impact as minimal as possible to doctors, other than, them just seeing a new face. We just, from an assisting standpoint, from an example, they should just see different hands running around and don't know who they're necessarily attached to. But telling a patient that you're new is automatically communicating to that patient that you don't know what you're doing. And we don't want that to be the message to patients. The other thing that is banished, we have many things that are banished from our pathway vocabulary, but another phrase that is banished in this same thread is I don't know. If you don't know, you shouldn't announce that to a patient. That's a front stage, backstage thing. It's I'm going to find out for you. It's not to say that you know everything, but you're not leading with an I don't know. It's knowing what resources or I'm going to review with my team and get back to you, and then make sure we get back to that patient and don't leave someone hanging.
The critical part of it is not saying I don't know before saying I'm going to
Right.
find out.
That's right.
Literally taking
That's
that phrase and throwing it out in the trash. We
right.
cannot say that ever, because no matter what you say after that line, all the patient is only hearing is I don't know. And they say no, they're not trained, they don't have the expertise, they're not going to be able to help me, whatever it is. And so even if you are going to go find out, even if you are going to do the research, even if you are going to help them as fast as you can, you cannot say the phrase I don't know.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be shocked if you have listened to some of the phone conversations and the way that people answer the phones sometimes, some of the bad habits that people have, even people coming in with experience from other industries. We assume that they know how to answer a phone call professionally. I've had people answer the phone, hey, girl, hey, that's not how we're answering a patient phone call, or, using slang or, who is this? And, just coming off very confrontational. It's not that difficult to say, good morning. Hi, I'm Jennifer. How can I help you? But again, we can't assume that someone is going to know that right off the bat. So we lay it all out for them. This is how we answer the phone. And we have role playing, and it seems like it's ridiculous, but we are laying it out so that they know what the expectations are. And we even have call reviews where team members can analyze their own calls. Hey, how did that call go? Did I have all of the patient's information? Again, some of just the basics. They can be having a 10-minute phone conversation with the patient and they never asked for their name or their contact information. So we have no way of reaching that patient again. we have caller ID now on other things, but again, just some of the basics, like find out who it is that you're talking to with the end result of that phone call being that you're trying to schedule a patient for an appointment. That is what the goal is for all of our phone calls. Anything outside of that, we can research for the patient and get back to them. So just those little tweaks of, again, not assuming that new team members know this, laying out what your expectations are for those communications.
Yeah, and so much of our evaluations these days are actually IA generated. And so, which is a huge part about it, because it's, we found there's a lot more effectiveness when the team members were evaluating their own calls and we trained them on how to evaluate them, their calls. Sometimes we actually had them evaluate each other's calls, things like that. But anytime it was us or another service or another coach evaluating the calls, it didn't seem to have the same message or the same impact on the team member. And so having the people evaluate their own calls and giving them a reason to has been huge. And I think that really plays along with the AI that's doing a lot of our evaluations for our exams, for our calls, things like that. Because even though it is a person, they don't really see it as a person. It's still a very objective thing, and you know, they know that it's not Jennifer, they know it's not another team member giving them a grade. This is a completely uninterested party that is just evaluating things black and white, and that seems to have a lot more effectiveness in the way that these are received.
Absolutely. Roberto is our AI analytic agent. They have names like everyone else. And, you know, they'll joke about it. I'm like, oh, Roberto was harsh to me. Roberto doesn't have any feelings about you. I wasn't as harsh on you as I should have been when I was doing these manually. So Roberto is looking at a formula and the formula went awry.
Right.
Administrative tasks. This one also is a hot take. This one makes me laugh a little bit, but I can't, because this is the reality in which we live in. We have it outlined for everything. How do we press play on the Sonos station? Because yes, I had someone tell me that no one had told them how to press play when I was asking why the radio was not running in the background. We had a front office who didn't know that you had to put stamps on envelopes because she thought that the post office took care of that for her. We have everything laid out. Do not assume that your new team members know how to do any of it. Just have it laid out. That way no one is embarrassed. These are just the basics. Copying and pasting was another one. I didn't tell them how to copy and paste, so they didn't know how to do that. So we have that listed out now as well, so that they can help with all of the basic tasks. Yeah. Transfers is something that we talk about in week three. We take anybody transferring out of our practice very seriously. We have a two-step verification process for this, so that if there just happens to be a personality conflict with someone, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to transfer out of the practice. This is one of the benefits of being in group practice, even from a provider standpoint. Sometimes patients don't jive with this specific provider for some reason. We have other options if that's the case, rather than just leaving the practices. But from a team standpoint, every time that someone is upset about something, that can automatically, well, we need to transfer them out. And that's not the way that we roll. Now, the patients that are over the top, yelling, swearing at our team, you know, threatening their safety, those are not the people we're talking about, right? We're talking about just because there's a disagreement doesn't mean we're just transferring patients out left and right.
Right. And then this is a big one because, you know, there goes through waves, but, you know, just because someone is not flowery and excited about the treatment that you're going to give them does not mean it's a reason to transfer people out. And sometimes there are people that just don't, they just don't work together. They just don't jive for whatever reason is happening. Whether that's between, you know, a front office and a patient or a doctor and a patient, whatever it is. But the beauty of it we have in our practice is that we have other providers, we have other team members, things like that. And it might just be a bad day or someone's having, you know, an off day, but, you know, that is not a reason to transfer a patient out. And we always try to resolve things as best we can to kind of fix it. But the fact of the matter is every once in a while, there does need to be that decision to be made.
All right. Week three are where the objections get very spicy. We talked about objections in week two, usually coming from the new team member. Week three, I can just about set my watch by it. It's going to be between day 19 and day 21 that my leadership team is coming to me telling me that they hate this person. And I tell our new team members, they're going to hate you by week three. I remind our point people, or what our leadership team members are called, I remind them of this. Now, the way that our hiring process goes in our practices is our team is hiring and firing. So this is not someone that I just planted in the offices for them and I'm forcing them to deal with. They are the ones that are doing the interviews. They're voting on who they think is the best candidate. They love them on week one, and by week three, they're tired, because even with a program like this, training does take effort and it's tiring, right? They're answering questions. It does slow them down if they're demonstrating what they're doing. But I also remind them of the bigger picture. Again, we're not hiring people for no reason. We're hiring because there's a need. And the faster we can get this person onboarded, the less stress it's going to be on our existing team members. So what usually comes to light by week three is every time we have a new team member on board, it is an opportunity to test our protocols. And we find time and time again that there's some protocol that's being broken along the way that the new team member is going, well, this person told me to do it this way, but this person told me to do it that way. Which way am I supposed to be doing it? So some of this is deflection, because our existing team members are being called on the carpet if they've become a little sloppy with a couple of things that need to be done. I remind them also where they have come from. We talked about last week, 100% of our team members at this point came to us without any dental experience, and they have become amazing team members. They've risen up through the ranks. They didn't do that without someone helping them along the way and without them having a chance when they were in that situation. So reminding them of, hey, you wouldn't be where you were unless you had someone who had a little bit of grace and patience for you when you were at this phase.
Yeah. And this is the accountability thing, I think, was so important that you kind of touched on right here. Cause you know, after week three, they're not doing what they're doing or mimicking some of the things that are maybe a little bit sloppy. It's going to come to light when they go to another office or when they do a test out or when they start working with another doctor. And those things are going to become very, very apparent very, very quickly. And so that's a huge, huge part of it, is the fact that we have not just one person in charge of onboarding that person. It's actually it's a whole team. So it's very hard for an entire team to be sloppy and be okay with it. It's okay for one person, not okay, but it's common for one person to be to be sloppy a little bit, but they always get kind of calibrated back. And generally the onboarding process, the first 400 process, calibrates our existing team members too, because they know that they need to be doing things, dotting their I's and crossing their T's, because that's the way they want this new person to be trained.
Well, and what we saw as a trend over, especially over the last year or so, is the answer to everything was termination, right? They're not the right fit for us, so we're going to terminate them. That is a short-term solution, right? That is not solving the long-term problem of why we were hiring someone to begin with. That is not strengthening our leadership team. It's very easy to say that it is a them problem and not an us problem. And anytime we have someone leave, whether we terminated them or they opted themselves out, we do a postmortem. I wish there was a better term for it, but that's what it is. We do a postmortem as to what we could have done in that situation to improve. And I'm really hard on our leadership team, because I've done these meetings with them multiple times where I've asked them, what could we do to improve? If they come back to me and say there's nothing, you think about that and come back to me again. To say that there's absolutely nothing you could have done to improve, you're not being honest with yourself. Right. And I'm not saying that we keep not every employee is the right fit for us. And there have been plenty that have come and gone that it's like, hey, this is just not, you know, for you, and things can end amicably. That's a different situation than us really at the end of the day. If it doesn't work out, I've said this over and over again, I want us to walk away from that relationship knowing we did everything we possibly could to set this person up for success and to try to make it work. And if we can't say that, then we failed right off the bat. What kind of example is that setting?
Right. Absolutely.
One of the additions that we've made in this process, I call our quality assessor, and that is a checklist. You know how we love a checklist around here, of what we would actually be losing by terminating this person, right? There was a reason that we hired this person. There was a reason we selected them from other candidates. What are they bringing to the team, right? What are we losing? What have they already brought to the team? What are they contributing? What is it, a skill or a mindset issue? We work through these things with our leadership team to actually take a step back and then be very, very honest with what does coverage look like when we terminate this person. It's very easy, again, in the moment, you're frustrated, say, just terminate them. Okay, if we terminate them, you guys need to work out a coverage schedule. Suddenly that becomes, hey, are you still going to be able to go on that vacation in 2 weeks because we don't have coverage? Are you willing to sacrifice that? That changes the conversation real fast, right? Because it can be easy in the moment to just get rid of them. But if you're going to, in exchange, have to give up something personally, suddenly they said, well, actually, maybe we should try this, or maybe we should set this goal, or we should set this expectation. so that if it does come to that point, everybody is on the same page of what it's going to take during that transition process. We do not hire quickly. We want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to ensure it is the right fit. And we do reference checks and we have them come in the office and meet the team and, you know, all of these steps. So it's not like we're just changing out someone like socks and they'll just be a new person in the next day.
Right. Right. If we're not hiring for someone that we think can be one of the better people on our team, every time we're hiring, we're technically lowering the quality of our team. And so we really need to think about that. It's very hard to do because, you know, sometimes you just need a person. You just need someone to kind of fit in and part of the team. But if you're looking for that person and you're saying, okay, when you know, based on what we saw in the interview process, if this person is not going to quickly become as good or better than everyone else on their team or in their department, you really need to think twice about kind of why you're hiring that person, because it's going to bring the quality of that department or that group down.
So we will be continuing this conversation next week. Next week, we are going into week 4. So they're going to their halfway point of their first 400 program. The objections we usually see at this point come from our doctors. So we will be talking about some of those doctor objections next week. In the meantime, if you would like to learn more about how we can help incorporate a training program like this into your practices, you can reach out to us. Our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we are on all of the social media platforms. So feel free to connect, and we will be back next week.
All right, see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.